OJB's podcast, 26 April 2018. Free will again. Okay, it's time for an update on the old question of free will again. Why? Well, I just felt like I had no choice. So now that I've got the standard lame free will joke out of the way, let's continue with the main discussion. This has been one of my favourite subjects for many years now, but this particular iteration of the subject came about as a result of a podcast in Sam Harris's excellent Waking Up series, featuring well-known cosmologist and physics professor Sean Carroll. It is an unfortunate phenomenon that scientists often make bad philosophical arguments, but Carroll has a more informed and nuanced view than most, and I think many of his points are worth considering. In the past, I have concluded that the main issue with the free will argument, which is one of the most significant in philosophy, is the definition of the terms. Carroll made some points which I think might help in this regard, so I'll go through these here and touch on some related issues at the same time. First, let's consider Laplace's demon. This was an argument for causal determinism made by Pierre-Simon Laplace in 1814. He said, "We may regard the present state of the universe as the effect of its past and the cause of its future. An intellect, which at a certain moment would know all forces that set nature in motion and all positions of all items of which nature is composed, if this intellect were also vast enough to submit these data to analysis, it would embrace in a single formula the movements of the greatest bodies of the universe and those of the tiniest atom. For such an intellect, nothing would be uncertain, and the future, just like the past, would be present before its eyes." In other words, if an entity, person, god, demon, computer, knew every piece of information about an independent system, possibly the whole universe, then by applying the laws of physics, that entity could predict the future perfectly, including what every person would do, because people are made from the particles it has perfect knowledge of. So when I go to a restaurant and order dinner, the entity would already know what it is I am about to order. In that case, do I have free will, since my choice is predetermined? In a simpler case, the entity might know all of the masses, positions, and locations of the molecules in a container and can use these to predict the exact pressure of the gas. But we can already do that using gas laws and get an answer to an almost arbitrary level of precision. Additionally, the laws of the universe say we cannot know all of these measurements simultaneously, or at least we cannot measure them. So there are two points here. First, the fact that we cannot know the exact configuration of every particle because of the uncertainty principle doesn't mean that the universe isn't determined, just means that we cannot know what the outcome of that determinism might be. This doesn't seem to allow us to escape from the inevitable conclusion that we lack free will. The second is that we can work at a higher level of abstraction than simply knowing the characteristics of every particle in a system and get an answer which is good enough for any reasonable level of accuracy we need. Plato thought there were perfect or archetypal forms of every object, so every chair in this world would be a physical manifestation of the perfect form of chairness. The fact that chairs are made from molecules, which behave according to the laws of physics, is not a useful distinction when discussing the attributes of a chair. Even though it is really just a collection of molecules, the fundamental form still applies. Of course, there are many holes in this idea, especially since it seems to require categorization of objects into distinct types, and not every object can be classified that way. I don't know enough philosophy to know what the usual answer to this objection is, but I'm just going to bypass it as a non-essential detail and move on. So a human is a collection of atoms, but describing one this way is both impossible and unnecessary. We can use higher order laws to describe one, and these essentially give humans free will, even though the individual atomic description seems to deny it. Is this just a semantic trick? Well, maybe, but I think it is a useful one. But what are the consequences of free will in this form? Harris claims we should neither have pride in our achievements nor blame for our faults, because what we are as individuals is entirely determined by our genetics and our environment, neither of which we have control over. So the person winning the Nobel Peace Prize, forget that its credibility is a bit questionable, shouldn't be proud of that because it just happened because of the laws of physics, which were completely beyond his control. And the mass murderer has nothing to be ashamed of for the same reason. Even if this is fundamentally true, it does seem a dangerous philosophy to hold to. And if you follow my higher order description of human functionality, it is also unnecessary, because we choose to see a human as a more holistic system where he can be responsible for both the good and bad aspects of his character and behaviour. Of course, there is one other major philosophical idea which needs to be included here, and that is dualism. Neither Harris nor Carroll even deemed this worthy of mentioning, and I would agree with them, but for completeness, I need to discuss it briefly, however belated it might be in this post. Dualism posits the idea that certain phenomena, specifically consciousness in this case, arise from something beyond the physical universe, some sort of pure mind or spirituality. The problem is, there is no good reason to think anything of this sort exists. Although many people accept dualism, it seems to be mainly for religious reasons rather than as a result of scientific evidence or any well-supported philosophical logic. If there was an extra element in the universe associated with consciousness, then it would not need to follow the rules of physics, so it would not need to be deterministic. It's a tempting way to explain the apparent existence of free will, but we must follow what is true, not what is convenient. There is one final complication I need to throw into the mix here, just in case it isn't complicated and confusing enough already. That is that some experiments appear to indicate that humans' conscious awareness of their actions seems to run slightly behind the actions themselves. In addition, the mind seems to be inventing a narrative to explain what has just happened in terms of its own conscious control, rather than having truly initiated that control. There are some objections to these findings, so they shouldn't be viewed as being definitive, but they certainly indicate free will as an illusion, maybe even at the higher level where I claim it exists. So, at the end of this, are we any better off? I think the best conclusion is, at the deepest levels of reality, free will doesn't exist, but the higher levels it does. It's sort of like classical physics works really well for day-to-day problems, but quantum mechanics operates behind the scenes at the deepest levels of reality. But damn it, it's happened again! I'm still no closer to finding a final answer on this subject than I was when I started. And I thought that solving a philosophical problem which had confounded the best minds on the planet for thousands of years would be easy.